Welcome to another episode of Dakota Spotlight. I really appreciate you listening and would like you to know about Spotlight Plus. It is a subscription to Dakota Spotlight that provides bonus content, early access, and ad-free listening, all while supporting my work and the show you love. You can subscribe right in the Apple Podcasts app or visit dakotaspotlight.com. Today, I have a special episode for you for Valentine's Day. As longtime listeners know, I often interview musicians who have contributed music to the various Dakota Spotlight seasons. Back in season 4, I was very, very fortunate to get permission to use an incredibly catchy song called Moonlight Feels Right, written by Bruce Blackman. Those of us old enough to remember the year 1976 remember it well. In July of that year, it peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. The following delightful and entertaining interview with Bruce is a listener favorite here and a perfect episode to replay for Valentine's because Bruce not only talks about his music, but also the lengths he went to meet the girl of his dreams. In fact, the song Moonlight Feels Right is partially about his love for that woman, now his wife. So, in the name of love, please enjoy this delightful interview with Bruce Blackman.
Sitting there going, da, 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 da. You know, play that little intro riff, and door was open, breeze blowing through, and I just looked up and went, the wind blew some luck in my direction, I caught it in my hands today.
Okay, Bruce Blackman, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Glad to be here.
So before we start talking about your music, I want to learn a little bit about you. I've been trying to read up a little bit. Sounds like you were an athlete when you were young. Is that right?
Yeah, I played football and ran track. I got a track scholarship to Mississippi State.
Was that 4 years of track then? Or?
Well, I only ran at Mississippi State for 1 year. My track coach was killed in a car wreck.
Oh my goodness!
Between my freshman and sophomore years, and he was my mentor and the guy that worked me out and everything. And then the Mississippi State decided to combine two sports, golf and track. Uh-huh. So the golf coach became the track coach, and he knew less about it than a 2-year-old child. And plus, I was getting into music then, so really it worked out best because that's when I went into music full time. There wasn't a whole lot of future in running.
Right. What event in track did you run, though?
I was a sprinter.
Oh, wow.
And the 100, 220, and a quarter.
So is this true? Let me ask you this. Is it true that you enrolled in a college specifically because there was a girl going to school there and you wanted to meet her?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah. I went to summer school. Even though I was at Mississippi State, I went to summer school at Delta State because the upperclassmen told me that if you took world history in summer school, they couldn't cover the whole book. The book weighed about 4 pounds.
Okay.
So it was a lot easier. So while I was there, I was in a poker game in the dorm one night, and there was a photograph they had torn out of the newspaper of the contestants in a beauty pageant. And there was this one girl. I went, oh my God, who is that? I said, it's Peggy Denman. And she said, she's dating a big time football player from Ole Miss. I said, where does she go to school? And they told me it was a junior college. So I went and registered at that junior college. So I was registered in two. In fact, at one point I was registered in 3 colleges. I also went to registered at a junior college on the Gulf Coast when I was playing with my first band. So I was registered in a junior college in Mississippi, Mississippi State, and a junior college on the Gulf Coast.
Wow. So how did that work out with the girl you wanted to meet?
Well, the third time I asked her out, it was going to be the last time. She'd already turned me down twice. The third time I asked her out, and she said yes. And then we started dating, and then later on got married. And it all worked out. We're still married today. It all worked out quite well.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard any. I mean, I know guys will do incredible things to meet women, but that's pretty, that was very academic of you all at the same time.
She was just so beautiful. I went, it's not even possible. How is it possible that anybody could be that beautiful?
Hello, dear listener. This is James, host of Dakota Spotlight, inviting you to subscribe to Spotlight Plus. For as little as $5 per month, you will get the warm feeling of supporting the show and also unlock access to bonus episodes, get the episodes early, and listen ad-free. That's right, no more ads. Apple users can subscribe to Spotlight Plus Standard right in the Apple Podcasts app. If you want to dive deeper and get even more exclusive benefits, subscribe to Spotlight Plus Premium or Spotlight Plus Ultimate. Go to dakotaspotlight.com for more details.
I'm driving fast, I'm coming home to see you, baby. Getting dizzy from those highway lights. I should have known I couldn't live without you. Counting down miles by the highway signs. I've been cruising in my 64 Chevy. Burning tires coming your way. Meet me down on the corner by the levee. Down around Jim's Cafe.
I should tell my listeners here that last time I tried to call you for an interview, you were in the middle of what, a hurricane or something?
Yeah, well, the remnants of a hurricane, and we were without power for, well, I forget how many days it was. It was like at least a week. It was like being pioneers, you know.
Right, and then actually today here in North Dakota where I am, there's a wind advisory, so it seems like every time we get together, the weather is amok.
Is Fargo in North Dakota or South Dakota?
North Dakota.
North Dakota. Okay, we played a show in Fargo.
You did?
In February. I think it was 77. And when we went in, got up on the stage, it was in a giant Quonset hut. I mean, the thing was huge. There were several thousand people there. But there was no heat.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had these big things that must have been 8 feet long and at least a foot in diameter of torpedo heaters on either side of the stage, but they didn't reach me. And by the time we started playing, my hands were so frozen, I literally could not move my fingers.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's North Dakota for you.
Yeah, and I slept that night, and we were in this little motel, and I put my hair dryer under the covers to stay warm.
Any other memories of North Dakota that besides almost freezing to death?
Well, I got drunk in a bar there and had the most fun doing that. I don't remember the name of the bar.
Again, before we quite get into the song and the music, obviously in 76, your life changed quite a bit when the song took off. But what were the 70s for you before you kind of, you know?
Well, I started, my first group was Eternity's Children. And three members of Starbuck had been members of Eternity's Children. And we got a record deal in 1967 with A&M Records.
Okay.
I think we were the first act signed to A&M. And we had a song called Rumors that I wrote. It didn't hit. It made it to number 103, bubbling under the Hot 100.
Oh, no.
And then after that, we got a deal, Eternity's Children, with Liberty Records. And I had a song, Moonlight Feels Right, Mrs. Bluebird.
Okay.
And I think it went to like number 53. It hit big in the Southeast, but never broke out of the Southeast. We were in the late 60s here. So in 69, late 68, I left that group because of our managers that we had were taking everything. And when I mean everything. And I'd lived in L.A. for about a year, met so many people then. Well, after I turned to children, I came to Atlanta, and we formed the first version of Starbuck. I got a call from a guy named Bo Wagner, who was a marimba player. And Bo was a part of a group. They were meeting in Lukenbach, Texas, putting together a group to go on tour with Jose Feliciano. In the meantime, while we were out there, we chose the name Starbuck. And that group included Bud Cockrell, who was the lead singer and bass player of later Pablo Cruz. And the drummer was Tommy Aldridge, who then joined the group, who was a forming member of Black Oak Arkansas. Then he went to Whitesnake, and then Ozzy Osbourne. All the members of that group made it, but not together. We then reverted to the name Mississippi, and we put a group, Bo and I put a group together. We immediately got a deal in Nashville with a guy named Gary Paxton. Yeah, he did all the association songs, you know, the Along Comes Mary and that stuff. And we got a deal with RCA, but RCA informed us that we had to change our name because they were about to sign a group from Australia who had the name Mississippi. So we reverted back to the name Starbug, but then the group from Australia named Mississippi changed their name to the Little River Band.
Wow. No, let's talk about Moonlight Feels Right.
In my direction, I caught it in my hands today.
So I was 12 years old when this thing took off, so I remember this song like it was yesterday, and such a great tune. But I want to start by asking you if you remember, you know, how did that song come about? Did you sit down and write it in 5 minutes, or was it a long, how did that work out?
Well, I wrote it in about 15 minutes, but it took me 15 years to learn how.
Feels right. Moonlight. Feels right. We'll lay back and observe the constellation.
But it's actually, a lot of people interpreted that song as a lecherous old man trying to pick up a young girl. But it was exactly the opposite. It's actually a semi-true story about how I met my wife.
Wow.
And the night I wrote it, my hand was in a cast. And my wife was working as a waitress to support us because I had lost my job because of that. And I sat down with my mini-mog on the floor one night. And I couldn't play with my right hand, so I was just left hand.
Okay.
And I was just sitting there going, da, 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 da. You know, playing that little intro riff.
Uh-huh.
And door was open, breeze blowing through. And I just looked up and went, the wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. And I had the TV on, but the sound was off. And I looked up, and the movie that was playing was The French Connection.
Right.
Gene Hackman. I went, finally made a tricky French Connection. You winked and gave me your okay. That was about the third time I asked Peggy out. And she said yes. And then what we did after we dated for a while, I had an old MGB convertible. It was green. And we went out to a lake in Mississippi and dropped the top and cuddled and watched the moon reflecting off the lake. So that was the image of that. Of course, I couldn't say, I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top at a lake between in Mississippi. You know? So I just tried, what's the biggest bay that has a big city? Chesapeake, Baltimore. So that part was a little fake.
Well, that
wouldn't fit the song, but that's what the song was about. That's exactly what it was about.
That's amazing. Can you tell us about like, was the marimba part of the original idea, or when did that come into the project?
No, but Bo and I joined because Bo was a true percussionist. He had been on, he toured with Liberace for forever. He was on a Mouseketeer show. He'd been in show business since he was 4 years old. He had his own Vegas show when he was 12. But our intention was to work those unusual instruments into everything. And Bo found me because he liked the songs that I wrote and thought they fit well. But when we cut Moonlight, we first did it, I did an organ solo. Didn't sound right. Then I did a clavinet solo. That didn't sound right. Bo said, well, let me try the marimba. So yeah, we mic'd up his marimba, and he walked out there. And what you heard was an ad-lib, one-take performance.
You're serious?
Yeah. When he finished, it was dead silence in the studio. I mean, just dead silence. You couldn't even see his hands. His hands were a blur in real time. It was, and then Bo said, is that okay? And I went, yeah, Bo, that's okay. Come on in.
I mean, and that's kind of a, I don't want to say it's the signature of the song because the song is so much bigger than that, but it's definitely something people remember, and it set it apart a little bit from other pop songs at the time.
Oh, absolutely did. Now, it was a record company wanted to take the marimba solo out. They said the song was too long. This was in an era they didn't want anything to be 3 minutes long, and Moonlight was 3:45. But And I believe we had been turned down by every label in America. They either said a band from Atlanta, Georgia, and it's not Southern rock, or it's not disco. You know, that was the happening thing then, Southern rock and disco. And we were neither one.
Right.
And that's why they turned us down. But we finally did get a deal with a little private stock label.
That's amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about, it must have been a wild ride there between, I think it's like April 76 and August or something, when it was really climbing, wasn't it, on the charts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was insane.
I mean, were you just on the edge of your seat every day, or how did you, what was life like?
Well, I was kind of in shock because we'd been so poor for so, I mean, I'll tell you, the week the guy from my publishing company called me, we were playing at a strip club in Buckhead. That's a ritzy area of Atlanta. I was making $51 a week.
Wow.
We were playing seven sets a night, six nights a week for $51 each. And I got my publisher called me and said, Bruce, you got a hit. So the following week, I get a call from a promoter in Birmingham, Alabama. And he said, Bruce, your song, Moonlight Feels Right, is number one in Birmingham. He said, we need somebody to open for ELO.
Wow.
He said, I apologize right now, but all we can pay you is $5,000. And I went, $5,000? Oh, my God. I mean, I could buy my own battleship, you know.
You were on TV, too. I'm trying to, can you remind me of which?
Well, let's see. We did American Bandstand, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas three times, American Bandstand three times. Dinosaur, Rock Concert, Solid Gold.
So I saw on your website, BruceBlackman.com, that you're still playing and performing, right? In fact, you've got a couple new versions or different versions of Moonlight Feels Right. Do I have your permission to play some of those new versions in this?
Sure. You can play anything, any of my stuff.
Yeah, and another thing, I believe you said you wrote a book. Is that right?
Yeah, it's called The Road to Moonlight Feels Right.
And where can people get that book?
Any online bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, you name it.
So is that the story of your life or the...
Well, half of it, I start off with the concert in Birmingham with ELO. Go into detail about that. And then I back up to my youth and go through that and the musical and sports experiences, and then how I formed Starbuck, how I wrote Moonlight, recordings. So about half the book is strictly about music.
Anything about freezing to death in North Dakota or almost?
No.
Didn't make the book. Okay, one last question. Are you a fan of the true crime genre at all, like TV, podcasts, or books or anything like that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you type in my name, mm-hmm. Bruce Blackman on Google, you'll get a lot of matches from me, but there's also some guy named Bruce Blackman that murdered a bunch of people.
Okay.
It was not me.
Well, Bruce, this has been such a pleasure to finally talk to you. And again, I honestly cannot thank you enough. I mean, it's very generous of you to allow me to use Moonlight Feels Right in my podcast. And I'm going to play some of these other versions for my listeners. And
By the way, the Moonlight Feels Right 2014 that I did, that is... I decided to record when I originally wrote it. I wrote it as a bossa nova.
Huh?
So I went, what the hell? I'm going to record it the way I originally wrote it. So that's why it's done that way.
All right. I'll play that for my listeners right now.
Okay.
Again, thanks so much.
Hey, no problem. I enjoyed it.
Hey, folks. Thanks so much for joining me with this 2024 Valentine's special. I appreciate you being here so much. Without you, there is no podcast after all. Wherever you are in the world, I wish you well, and I will see you next time here on Dakota Spotlight. Thank you so much for listening. To support my work, get early access, listen ad-free, and much more, please consider subscribing to Spotlight Plus. Apple users can even subscribe right in the Apple Podcasts app. Learn more about Spotlight Plus at dakotaspotlight.com.